Right here for you.
That's football, guys.
Go Mean Green.
Welcome to the GoMeanGreen.com Barbershop Podcast, dedicated to students, alumni, and fans that truly bleed green. Follow us on Twitter at GoMeanGreen and visit our website, GoMeanGreen.com.
Love that!
Here we go!
Now, your hosts of the GoMeanGreen.com Barbershop Podcast, Evan, Harry, and Ashton.
Hello and welcome to the 167th edition of the GoMeanGreen.com Barbershop Podcast. This is Evan.
This is Harry.
This is Ashton.
And we are here to talk North Texas football. Gentlemen, a nice win at Rice sends us to 2-2, unexpectedly, I'd say.
Hey, a win is a win. If you're a North Texas fan, you are on cloud nine. Heck, man, I'm still feeling good about that win. Double overtime, exciting. Awesome finish. I mean, you just couldn't ask for a better outcome, and we were due. I mean, it's been a long time since we've won a game like this on the road, and to start off the season this way, you just couldn't ask for a better outcome.
Yeah, it's a game that, you know, a year ago and even in 2014, we probably would have lost. You know, we would have folded in the second half. We wouldn't even have come out in the second half and looked anything decent, and we came out and looked good, still had a lot of mistakes. You know, we tried to allow Rice to, when we finally got up and then we started kind of pulling away, we kind of allowed them to come back in the game. But, you know, the hats off to the team. They did a great job. They stuck with it. They were resilient. You know, even giving up that late touchdown at the end for the Rice to tie in the two-point conversion. You know, that's high stress right there.
Do you know how long it's been since we've had a game that was an away game where after it was over, I was going, man, I wish I would have been at that game. I mean, we always want to have those, but we just don't have them. And this was one that when the game was over, I didn't want the coverage to stop. I wanted to see more of crappy internet high school audio visual club recording of that game. And I wanted to see the fans. There was a good crowd there.
It was a home game, by the way.
It felt like it. You could hear the fans on the broadcast.
Rice had to call a timeout because of our fans at one point. It was clear our fans were the ones, because it was loud as hell, and Rice had the ball. You know, it wasn't their fans, and you know, they called the timeout, and then our fans got even louder, and that's when there was this huge eruption on the sideline that was really cool to be around, where the whole team kind of saw what was going on. And it was kind of funny, man. The team seemed to embrace the crowd more at this game than our own home games, because the crowd was so, like, all the people who were there were so into it. I'm not crapping on anybody at our home games, but it's just, you know, we needed the crowd there, and that we were feeding off them, they were feeding off us. It was a really cool little moment for an away game.
And that's how it should be. I mean, I remember when we were talking about moving to Conference USA, we were so excited about the
local
travel,
yeah.
You know, showing our fans, because we got a lot of alums in Houston. I got to be honest with you. We have a lot of alums in Houston.
I think it showed.
And I think, you know, the games in San Antonio, I mean, those ought to be great showings for our fan base, and we just haven't been able to feed them and get them excited enough to turn out for that. And you could hear it on the radio, on the broadcast.
Yeah, after it was over, several people posted a Twitter feed of the end of the game, the crowd going crazy, the players running over to the crowd.
Oh, it was great.
Some really great moments there. And I'm sure, hopefully, this week on Beyond the Green, we'll see a lot of...
Yeah, I'm leaving that game out. You know,
okay,
it wasn't really...
Okay, well, that's all right. Yeah, you don't want to sway two people too much.
Much to some people's probably disdain, I'm actually doing pretty heavy... Actually, the majority of the show is the game, because there was so much going on at the game.
There was so much going on in the game.
And I couldn't really avoid doing it, honestly.
Yeah. Well, obviously, but I think there was kind of a tale of two games there.
Oh, absolutely. The first, I mean, this week's show will probably be one of my favorite ones we've done because in the now third season, you know, in 2.5 seasons, because there weren't any cool, there's not any like amazing Marcus Trice or McCoy stories or anything like that, but the realness and like the rawness of what we ended up getting, you know, everything was happening. It was kind of like a reality show, you know, and I was able to, we were able to capture so much. And then there was so much going on at the game. We were lucky enough to capture certain sound bites from coaches and things that were happening on the sidelines that really went along with what was happening on the field. You know, the constant offsides calls, the constant mistakes, the good play here, two bad plays there in the first half. And then we end up going into halftime only down by 3 points. And I think that was the thing that you know, I kind of forgot we were only down by 3 until Luttrell said it in his halftime speech, to be honest. I kind of fully forgot that we were down by 3. I thought we were almost down by more because it was such a bad half for us. But and part of me was thinking, well, maybe this is a testament to how decent, I'll just use the word decent and not good or great, how decent this team is right now, to where we can play bad and still be in games against, you know, non-Florida teams.
It kind of reminded me, Evan, of the Ball State game in a certain respect. I remember thinking after that game, and you traveled to that game, mm-hmm. that, wow, you know, the start of the season, big win.
You're talking about the one from like years ago.
Yeah, when not Riley Dodge.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would think it was 7 years ago it popped up on my Facebook feed.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was a long time ago, but.
I was in college.
You know, there were some similarities nice. About thinking we've got a good quarterback. At that time, it was Riley Dodge. We have a new system. We beat a team that we weren't supposed to beat on the road. You know, you just get this feeling of euphoria. This win was even different, though, because it was a conference game.
Yeah.
And
the first conference game of the year,
The first conference game of the year. And you just get the feeling with Fine, he took a lot of tough hits in that game. And he's taken a lot of tough hits against Florida, and he keeps bouncing back and getting up. You know, obviously, we don't want to see what happened to Dodge with all the injuries and things of that nature happen here, but you just get a feeling that this kid's going to be around for a while.
A lot was made of, and first of all, people listening in the chat room, appreciate you being in the chat room. Somebody give us a call. If you were at the game, let us know what you thought about it. The number's on posted there. And for those of you that might be listening in on iTunes, you can always call and leave us a message, 469-557-8669. But I think one of the things that everybody discussed, and it was on Twitter, is this team could have just mailed it in. They could have just said, look, it's going to be a tough season. We're down by 17. We just have a long way to go. They didn't. I can't really go back and say this was the exact moment. It was just several moments that these guys built upon. People didn't give up. There was some big plays in there, but it built back up. And I know you'll probably cover this on Beyond the Green this week, but man, it made, and just like said in the chat room, 2-2 feels great. It does. And the way it happened, it feels spectacular.
The way it happened, I think, is the big thing. And it can't be like, you know, we can't look at it lightly, because what we did in overtime, you know, to let them come back in the game, okay, it's fine. You know, teams have a way of scoring when they really need to at the end of games for some reason, just in college football in general, when teams need to, you know, we made the quarterback who's been a statue all game sprint up the middle of the field, the non-Wildcat quarterback, and for like, what, 35 yards, just basically untouched and down to the 5-yard line. They get in 2 plays later, and then a 2-point conversion off a play that we used to run to Drew Miller all the time, the fake rollout. They look back, oh, tight end's wide open in the corner of the end zone or back of the end zone. And then, you know, that really just could have shut us down. We could have went into the overtime and lost on the first possession. But for some reason, and we even got down. So we were even down in overtime. And that was kind of the scary thing. And I'm not going to lie, like, it was going through my head, oh man, we're going to lose this damn game because
we don't win these.
Because we don't we don't win these. And I started looking around and I was kind of thinking, all right, you know, these guys are real. Jeffrey Wilson had a really good little come to Jesus moment with his offensive line. Like, we're going to win this game. Like, I couldn't put on the show for obvious reasons if you think about it real hard. And so it was just, there was just some things. I was like, okay, we went out there, and it's like we were going to score, and then we scored. And then, you know, to score again, and then all of a sudden the defense, which had been kind of maligned all game and not really playing that well, but playing when they needed to, but then, what, 6 offsides calls? And then all of a sudden, you know, Brandon Gardner, who had had a personal foul, I think two personal foul calls earlier in the game, got lambasted by Eckler on the sideline at one point, and I almost thought he was going to bench him, comes through, shoots the gap, and takes the dude down for a loss. Like, we didn't stop him at the line of scrimmage. Like, they didn't get a half a yard. They got a loss, you know, and then you just see Dillard laying on the ground at the end of the game, just laying there. And, man,
he was down.
That's the stuff that's like Portland State last year to us. You know, it's reminded me of it. Just like it was demoralizing for Rice, and you kind of it was a weird feeling to be there.
And I always feel weird. I always hate to see on the games, and these people are sitting there dejected. I hate that part. But you know what? After that game, I was thinking, it's our turn. We have been that team so many times that just were demoralized. We needed that win. Mike Jackson in the room just said, you know, these are ups and downs of a new team and staff coming together. I really think that way that we won that game did more than if we would have just won it, by 1 point earlier.
Oh, it can put us together.
That right there, that extra effort, the fire, the energy, the way the fans, and then afterwards, that was a huge shot for that team rather than if we would have won that straight out.
Absolutely. I think that's one of those games where, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say that it's going to set the table and we're going to just run it now or anything like that. But, it was like the Ball State game a few years ago in 2013. You know, we come back, we win the game. We fought hard and we walk over the victory. You know, then obviously I think we had we had the Tulane game a couple weeks later after that. But that Ball State game, this game kind of reminded me of that in a way, because it was one of those moments where you can kind of, doesn't define the team, but in a sense it sort of does. Like you kind of see what you're dealing with. Like, you're dealing with tough guys who are resilient, or are you dealing with guys who are just going to roll over and die like last year? And really in 14 and 15, we would have rolled over and not won that game. We would have shut down, and it would have been they would have outscored us 35-0 in the second half, and it would have just been, we would have been crying.
Yeah, a lot of people are talking about a couple different plays at SMU. We could have pulled something else like this.
Absolutely.
What if somebody mentioned here? What if this would have happened at home? It would have been huge. I think it would have been huge, but I think that I think the fact that you're doing it at their house, and the fact that the players saw a traveling North Texas fan base. This wasn't at SMU where we brought several thousand, but we had a good crowd at a four-hour drive away.
Absolutely.
And I don't remember us ever having that big of a crowd at any drive.
We didn't have a crowd at the Rice game 2 years ago after we beat.
Right.
After we came out of a bowl season. Like, this was, like, I looked up in the middle of the first quarter, and I was shocked at the, and granted, they're all in one area.
What time was that game, though? Wasn't that an early game?
Well, it was in the.
It was 1 o'clock. It was a 1 o'clock. It was 1 o'clock kick. Okay. I remember it was kind of early, but not like
that
super early.
That makes it tough, I think.
Absolutely. I mean, this was a five. This is that weird 5 o'clock kick, but you looked up at the stands behind the bench, and you just see like kind of a sea of green in a way, and granted it was one little area, but it was full and it was loud and there was just a lot going on, and it was nice to it was nice to see that, and I think it really helped.
Yeah, there was a lot of good things coming out of that, and you know, we can talk about it. We can talk about their record, but you know what? A win's a win, and how they did it was spectacular. Now we're coming into a couple of games that I'm glad we have at home and don't have away, because these are two teams that have seen, you know, Marshall's seen better years. Middle Tennessee, you know, there's ups and downs, but I like the way that these two games set up. Right now, we need to go to the phone right now, because we have on the line. We need to go to him quick because he's only got so much time. But joining us on the phone right now is the beat writer for the for North Texas for the Denton Record Chronicle, Brett Vito. Brett, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys. We got a few minutes to chat with you here, so I thought I'd call in.
No, Brett, we were just discussing, and I don't know how long you were in the waiting room there, but we were discussing how we feel that this win against Rice, rather than just a straight out win, the win in overtime with the traveling fan base, we just think that it did a lot for this team and their mentality. And so, you know, were you there, weren't you?
Oh, sure. Yeah. I got every game. So.
Yeah. That's what I thought. Just wanted to make sure. Now, so what was your overall feelings and how the team performed and how they came back?
Well, I mean, I think it was pretty remarkable that they did manage to come back. And, you know, you get down 17 to nothing, especially for a team that's traditionally struggled like North Texas, and it'd be pretty easy to fold the tent, and they didn't do that. And that was what was impressive. And then everything just kind of seemed to go their way. I mean, the whole game, I mean, everything fell their way. I mean, they're down 17 to nothing, and, you know, you throw a Hail Mary down the sideline. You know, the two defensive backs run into each other. You get a catch. You know, and then everything started to snowball. You know, North Texas gets a few stops. They make a few great plays. They did everything right, and then Rice just kind of seemed to fall apart. You know, you have the roughing the passer penalty in overtime when they had them stop. Everything just kind of went their way. And, you know, you win that game, and the hope is that this isn't like every other time, every other year for North Texas for the last how many ever freaking years, where you say, oh, this is going to be the big turning point here, where everything's going to start going their way, and then everything goes back down the tubes again.
Yeah.
Which has kind of been the case
for
years.
It has been, and Brett, and I think you've been around long enough that more often than not, I mean, a large percentage of the time, games like this, we're usually in the other situation. We're at the other end of the stick on these.
Yeah, I mean, and that's happened, but what I'm saying is, you know, over the years, in recent years, you've had these other situations where North Texas is, you know, they've pulled out a game, and then you start to wonder, okay, is this the big turning point, like when SMU, like when North Texas really pounded SMU a couple years ago, you think, oh, okay, well, this is where it's going to start going, and they're just start stringing together winning seasons, and then, you know, it kind of turns back the other way. So the question is this the time when it does work out? And, you know, there's some indications that maybe it will. Maybe this will be the time, like in 2013, where, you know, they come back after the loss against Tulane and they beat Middle Tennessee the next week and everything starts to go their way. So you kind of hope that that's the case this time around.
So, Brett, I wanted to talk about a player in particular. You know, we talk a lot about the offensive guys, Jeffrey Wilson, Willie Ivory, obviously Mason Fine. But defensively, just looking at the statistics, man, Courtney Finney had 12 tackles in this game. He led the team in tackles. And one thing we've seen from the statistics over the past few years, you always see the defensive backs, you know, leading the way. And it's rare in the past few seasons for us to see a linebacker that leads the team in tackles. Is this guy, I mean, is he having an all-conference USA type season? I mean, is he someone that could really, you know, raise up to another level from one year to the next?
I think so. I mean, the thing with all conferences is it all comes down to how good or bad you were at the end of the year. I mean, if it gets down to the end of the year, North Texas is an over 500 team and goes to a bowl game. Yeah, I mean, Courtney Finney's an all-conference player. If North Texas, you know, kind of has happened when it's happened in the last few years, they win a game and then they kind of disappear off the face of the earth. Courtney Finney's not an all-conference player. It doesn't matter whether you win or not. And the thing with Courtney was a high-level player coming out of junior college. I mean, for God's sakes, he was a JUCO defensive player of the year, had offers from some pretty legitimate mid-major schools, and then ends up at North Texas. Well, okay, you know he's got a ton of potential, and he's a really good player. The question is whether he translates that to the Division I level. You always say with junior college players, it takes a half a year. It took a half year for Courtney Finney. He came out at the end of last year. Now he's playing really well this year, and you're seeing his talent show through. It's just a question with a lot of those junior college guys is when's the light going to click? You know, Jared Combs, the lights kind of clicked. Courtney Finney, the lights kind of clicked. You know, and those kinds of things. So for every James Gray you've got who comes in and plays really well right off the bat, that's kind of the exception to the rule. A lot of times you see guys, it takes a half a year, and he may be one of those guys where it took him a little time.
So in the chat room prior to the show starting, obviously there was a lot of talk about a big news item that you just released in regards to the outcome of the Tripp Keeney, Michael Sakura audit of the North Texas Athletic Department. Do you want to give us a little comment on your findings you've reviewed some of the text of that? What are your initial thoughts of the outcome of that report?
Well, I mean, you know, it's kind of to be expected. I mean, you have a regime that's been in place for 15 years, and then you turn loose some guys that have some big expertise in college athletics and in finance and things like that. And, you know, people always hate to hear this, but North Texas isn't the easiest nut to crack in terms of getting everything to go exactly the way you want it to. So, you know, you're dealing with a smaller budget, you're dealing with all the inherent problems of not just North Texas, but any smaller program. And, you know, over the course of 15 years, you're going to have some problems come up. These guys, again, they really got to the hardest of what some of North Texas issues are, and they put those out in the report. And we just kind of laid out what everybody thought of what their report says, good, mostly bad. And then we had a response from Drill It Real on what he thought of, you know, what they had done at North Texas. And, you know, Drill It Real makes a very valid point that they took the athletic department and built it up a tremendous amount and brought it a long way. And I think on the opposite side, these consultants who are have some expertise in finance and college athletics, you know, Trip from having been a high level college golfer, they also bring up some valid points about issues that North Texas has faced. And, you know, then you just kind of have to take the good with the bad and, you know, Brent will evaluate the report and I'll go from there.
All right, Brent, I know you're short on time, but let me ask you, how do you look at the next two games we line up for here? We got two games at home. We start out with Middle Tennessee and we got Marshall. How do you think what we've done so far, what we did this week, how do we set up against these?
Well, I mean, you know, the positive thing is that North Texas has a very good defensive secondary. And you're playing two of the best quarterbacks in the league. The question is whether North Texas will be able to hold up and whether they'll match up and be able to continue to score like they did and play like they did late against Rice and carry that momentum over. That's the big question, because these are two of the better teams in the league, I think. I think Rice was theoretically, or at least it looks like it's going to be one of the worst teams in the league. So, okay, you beat one of the worst teams in the league. Now, can you go out and beat two of the best teams in the league? That's the question. Is North Texas far enough along in its development that they can go out there and compete with the Middle Tennessees and the Marshalls of the world that they haven't been able to compete with in the past? I think these two games will be telling.
So if we do beat Middle Tennessee, are we safe to start making plans for a bowl game?
Wow.
Well, I mean, you know, I mean, that would give them three wins. You don't have to get three.
You only need six, man. You only need six.
It's six.
That's what I'm saying. If you get three.
No hit six.
If you get one of these next two, then you gotta get a total of three. Army's gonna be tough, but you still have UTSA, you still have UTEP, you still have some winnable games. These next three games, I mean, are gonna be real tough. I mean, what if they lose to Middle, which wouldn't be a surprise? They lose, they're like 15-point dogs. What if they lose to Marshall, which is a quality team? And what if they go to Army and lose? I mean, that wouldn't be a completely unheard of or out of the realm of possibility situation. I mean, if that happens, you know, then it gets a little bit dicey at that point. What you got to hope is that somewhere along the line you can pick up at least one win and stretch of three, and then you're sitting at three going into that last series of games. So, but yeah, I mean, this one's gonna be telling. I wouldn't lose, you know, I wouldn't completely lose it if I was a North Texas fan, I wouldn't completely lose it if they lost Middle, because Middle might be the best team out currently. Now, if they lose the Middle and they lose to Marshall and then they go to Army and they lose that game, which is completely possible, you know, and then they got three more losses on the docket, yeah, I mean, then it's probably time to panic in terms of whether or not they can go from one win to six. You know,
well, you know,
we just have to see how it plays out.
We've constantly had this issue, and every year we talk about this for the past 10 years. We want to see them string two together. We really want to see that string two, and it's always, hey, it's great, but then we have some issues with it. So, Brett, real quick, the next couple days, articles to look forward to. What do you got coming out?
Well, I mean, I do have a story coming out tomorrow on UNT Secondary preparing for the big challenge station. You know, two great quarterbacks in the next couple of weeks. You know, I kind of, the big story this week, obviously, was the consultant's report. So if you wanted to, we've got that out there. The one important thing is I believe we're going to embed the full report tomorrow
people were asking where they could read it. Yeah, that's great, because people in the chat room were asking when it's going to be released. So that would be great if you guys did that.
I scanned it, and I believe we're going to embed it in the story, and that'll probably be up in the morning. So go back and hit on the story again. Of course, I was going to say I'm just trying to up our website views, but that's kind of our job. But, you know, go back and after you've read it tonight, go back and read it tomorrow. You're probably going to read the whole the whole shebang, and you can question me on, well, why didn't Brett put this, add this in the story, or why did he leave this, you know, that kind of thing. So, I mean, that way you can go and read the whole thing for yourself. But I believe that'll be up in the morning.
Sounds good.
All right. So, Brett Vito, the North Texas beat writer for the Denton Record Chronicle. Brett, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it, and we'll see you Saturday.
All right. Thanks, guys. We'll see you.
All right, so, you know, just like Brett said, we've had a lot of moments where we really expected to turn that corner, and it always seems to be, I was just like, hey, we came off a big win, let's see if we can string two together, and we end up falling on our faces. I felt like that happened under McCartney a lot. Latrell's a little different on all this, so I'm not sure, you know, how it's going to work, but I'm feeling pretty good about it.
He kind of missed the point of my question, and I may have not asked the question the right way, but... Weird. Here's the thing. Middle is a 15-point favorite with us at home. I mean, as a visitor coming into our stadium. My point is that if we can beat Middle, that would – I think people would have to start taking us seriously. I think the Rice game, they kind of looked like – I mean, even the Rice coach kind of acted like it was a fluke and double overtime and, you know, lightning strikes, but it doesn't strike twice.
Well, why should anybody really – like think differently though. I mean, we were a one win team last year, right? I mean, so I kind of have a hard time with, you know, I don't want to be negative and I want to be like overly positive and like sunshine and rainbows and unicorns, because the reality is we're one win team last year. We have two wins now. If we beat Middle Tennessee, yeah, I think we definitely need to like reconsider what we think we are. You know, but at the same time, if we don't, like Brett said, if we lose to Middle Tennessee, I'm not going to run around screaming for anybody's head, because what were our expectations before? And just because we won a game against Bethune-Cookman and we won a game against Rice, that doesn't really change my expectations on what we should be at the season. I'm going to be happy if we're a four-win team. That sucks, but that's just the reality of, like, that means there's progress. And right now, you know...
Why don't you knock it up for them negative waves?
Evan's been waiting for that drop for so long. No, but you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, I don't, I'm just trying to temper expectations for the season going into it. You know, I always wanted to have that there and not be overly unrealistic.
There's an excitement here because of the coach, the team, the way things are working out, there is an excitement and everybody wants to have something to look forward to. So, I mean, I can understand wanting to tap the brakes. But a lot of people didn't, you know, thought, well, Rice, yeah, at Rice, Dillard, yeah.
It's still an away game, and when you're not a great team and you win an away, when you win an away game, that can say something, like maybe you're not as bad as you thought, or maybe you're going in the right direction. I mean, winning an away game in college football, I still think is tough. And you know, again, Rice isn't the swamp, but it's still an away game that we don't win very often, so. You got to walk away pretty happy about it, but at the same time,
I like the way the defense is playing right now, and we keep talking about the secondary because I do think the secondary is really good. I think the key is Fine. I think Mason Fine,
of course,
will determine as to whether or not we are a really good team or if we're just kind of an average, mediocre Conference USA team. And
I was trying to turn that off. Sorry.
Evan's having fun with drops on his phone right now.
I was trying to get rid of
but,
that.
But I'm seeing a progression with him from game to game. He is not perfect by a long stretch. But I am starting to see – it almost seems like he's starting to do things a little – it's all starting to click for him.
It needs to click at the beginning of the game, though. You know,
he's a slow starter. That's
well,
a disappointment.
Well, I mean,
I think that'll come along with time.
Exactly. For sure. But, you know, here's something that I kind of have an issue with. Is he a slow starter? I mean, he's only played three games where he started. One of them was against Florida. You kind of throw that one out the window because he wasn't going to go out into Florida and light it up. That would be ridiculous. So I don't know what Mason is, because he's a freshman and he's played three games. And, you know, he looks really good at times. And then sometimes he does some bonehead plays. You know, there's going to be in the show this week, Graham's yelling at him on the sideline saying, I'd rather have second and 10, then second and 15. Don't take the sack, throw the ball away. You know, it's things like that.
He takes too many sacks.
He does
he take
too many,
too many hits, and it's going to catch up to him. I wish he would slide more. I think.
Yeah, stop lowering that head. But you know, the thing about that is that he's – the times that he's taken the hits, you know, against Bethune-Cookman, he probably should have slid rather than lowering his head and trying to truck that dude, even though it was almost like the lore of Mason Fine began with that hit. Against Rice, he's trying to get the extra yard. He's trying to score a touchdown. So I love it when my quarterback does that. Then if he gets up hobbled, you're like, oh, why'd you do that? But, you know, I mean, you got to – he does need to slide more.
He's not
sure.
Throwing it away and throwing a throw-up ball either. I mean, I think that there's several times where we've seen – quarterbacks that instead of just holding it and taking a sack, they're just throwing it up there and it's getting picked off. So I can see good and bad points to it.
Use the out of bounds.
I think everybody says he's a smart kid. He's a good kid. He'll figure it out. Right now he just wants to be it's obvious watching him down there and watching him just in the huddle, and you've seen it, you've discussed it, and you've covered it on Beyond the Green. He's got a presence.
For sure.
And he's got the respect of the team. And as long as he can build on that without getting some wonky injury or something, you know, this could really, really develop into something really nice. Now, we got to talk about one other thing, and Tony brought it up in the room here, is the offensive line. And that offensive line has got to hold up, and the Rice game has to make him feel better about everything. Because
it's such a huge improvement, and it gives me such faith in the coaching staff. They made some adjustments, and I'm not trying to pick on this guy because I love him to death, and I still think he can be a good player for us. But, you know, Jordan Murray was getting killed against Florida. I mean, they were just running around him. And so they made that adjustment, and it was a huge benefit for them in the Rice game, the adjustments they made on the line. And it's exciting to think, wow, now these guys could get better from game to game as they go along. They're starting to figure out. In his press conference, he said, you know, against Florida, we'd miss a block, and then we'd be like looking up, wondering why we missed it and stuff like this. Against Rice, we'd make a block, and then on that one play to Jeffrey Wilson, he makes the block, and then he goes and makes another block.
The Jeffrey Wilson run was great because of two things. It showed – Kenny Byers and Alex Woodworth. Alex, obviously, is Jordan's replacement. He kind of didn't have the guy that he was supposed to be blocking that wasn't really there, and it wasn't his fault. It was just, I think Kenny was kind of – their defense kind of threw us for a loop on that play. But the adjustments, like, within the play is what were so great about that. Alex kept pulling out and then just drove a dude down the sideline when Jeffrey got to that point. And then Kenny – was kind of driving a guy to begin with and sealed the guy inside. So they just kind of made this lane for him to just go down the field. And the great thing was is that everybody on the team, and you'll see it in the show, spoiler alert, ran up to Alex and was like, that's your touchdown, dude. And everybody, Seth, Graham,
good for them.
Brad Davis, Sam Rice has a nice little moment with Alex. Kenny got a lot of love too, but I think I only showed Alex. Sorry, Kenny. But the thing about it is that Alex had a couple really bad plays before that that I think weren't really able to like see in the telecast. Like there was just some things that Davis was on his ass, you know, earlier in the game. And there was a time that I thought they might switch back to Jordan, honestly, because Alex was not. I think he'd made a couple mistakes, and there was a read that they shouldn't have done, and then Mason audible, but then Alex didn't read it correctly, and it was bad. I think that was one of the sacks, actually, might have been on him. So it was nice to see him redeem himself at that point. But, it's those kind of adjustments with the young guys that you're going to, you know, in games like this.
So talking about the adjustments of one guy, so one of the things I want to talk about now is we're four games in. You start to see, especially at the Rice game, some really good plays made by some people we might not have discussed earlier on. But, like, right now I'm going to put you guys on the spot. Ashton, top player that you're surprised how well he's performed so far?
Surprised?
Right. Not somebody that you were expecting or you know, somebody that just really surprised you so far this year.
Probably the most I would say is – I know it's bad because I had high hopes for this guy, so I'm not totally surprised, but I think Nate Brooks is playing really well. I think he's made some really nice plays.
He's a stud.
But he had some expectations, so I guess I got to kind of scratch that one. Thaddeus Thompson, I guess, is the most surprised.
He's playing great.
Because he didn't do a lot last year, but again, that was that transfer first year thing. That was the, you know, Thaddeus Thompson,
Tyler Wilson, they're bringing up everybody on the board.
That's not
Tyler
surprising
Wilson.
Though. That
yeah, I agree. Surprising. We were real. I mean, a lot of some people discussed him.
I think
early
if you were at camp, you wouldn't be as surprised if you saw a lot of camp. The kid was like kind of touted a lot. Like there was a lot of like Perry alone was talking about Wilson a lot. So I guess that's yeah. I would say that's probably that he is kind of surprising, but. If I wouldn't have had some of the conversations I had with Perry about some of the guys that he really liked, and then knowing that Tyler was taking back kicks and punts like this early in the season, as the number one, then yeah, I guess it is. It wouldn't be that surprising. Thaddeus and Courtney Finney are guys that didn't really have great years last year, that are really showing up this year, and you could put chalk a lot of that up to that transfer, you know, that transfer figuring out the game. You know, it's okay. It's
the
you know,
transition.
Yeah, like, and I would have said Courtney Finney because I think, like you said, Harry, and you asked Brett, he's lights out right now. But I said he was going to be good last year, and he did nothing. So it was, or not nothing, but, you know, it just
took a while.
Kind of let me down a little bit last year. You know, I thought that I thought he was really going to do
it. All right, Harry,
what
about you?
So, you know, my answer to this question is Mason Fine. I mean, Mason Fine is just totally.
You
got to
be surprised, though. You thought he was the. Come on.
That's right, Harry.
Surprised.
But heading into the season, nobody expected this. Come on, let's be honest, guys.
Mason Fine did.
Well, we thought that Alec was going to be the guy, and, you know, poor Alec, I mean, you know, he hasn't garnered a lot of playing.
No, he hasn't, and you know, we saw Alec early on. We expected this guy to come in. He's got the credentials. He's got the background. He's got it.
Two national championship rings.
But we also, and Ashton has brought this up before, is he was a freshman out there as far as playing. He was around it, but actually being on that field with the experience, he just didn't have it yet. Now, I feel much better that he's behind Fine. I feel good that he's out there. I feel like he is a good – I think he's a good person to have with Fine, kind of working with Fine. But he's been there. He's experienced it. He's seen a lot of stuff. And I think – and I don't know, you know, if this is something that's happening. Is he kind of mentoring a little bit that, you know, what he's seen or how that relationship is? But I feel good that he's there. So maybe he's not scoring the touchdowns, but having him on the team, I think we're better.
I agree.
And it's a nice backup to have, a capable backup. You know, we haven't had that in previous years, and we always think we have a good backup, and then we clamor for the backup, and then he comes in, and it's like, oh, man, that's what that was. All right. But
who are you referring to?
DeMarcus
Smith, Josh Greer.
I didn't really expect you to put a name
out there. Williams, Brock Berglund. Okay. No, any of the guys that Harry's always wanted to see at quarterback.
Okay. Okay.
No, but sorry. man, I love it. But I hope that Mason, you know, is I haven't really looked at the relationships too much with Mason and Alec. I think that Alec, if I were to jump in his head, I imagine he can't be feeling too great about how everything shook out, and you know, it is what it is. I mean, that's probably one of the more disappointing things that, you know, if we talk about, you talk about being surprised at certain guys, talk about disappointments. Alec probably would be more of a disappointment. Everybody would kind of be way more ticked off right now if we didn't have a guy that came in and was doing well.
The big disappointment, though, honestly, is T. Gurry. I mean, this is the guy we were all excited about, and it just hadn't happened for him. Now, it's a long season.
Passing numbers aren't great in general. Like, our leading receiver has 12 catches.
Right. And let me go. You know?
No, I just expected T to do more.
I don't think it's – I don't think that
– I should say Terry, and it's not T anymore.
Well, either way, Gurry, I don't think
– Maybe he should go back to T. That one might
– But I don't think it's like his performance. I just don't think that our receiving is just – first of all, the time Fine has back there, he seems to be scrambling the whole time. So what routes are being run, what Gurry's looking about, I think if he had a little more time, I think you'd see more out of Gurry. I think you'd see more out of everybody. Byers had a nice game, but...
You said something that I think is interesting, though, and I'm probably going to just catch a ton of crap for this when I say it, so maybe I shouldn't go down this road, but I'm going to. Why is it that when we sit there and say Mason has no time to throw the ball, and then we kind of say that that's kind of an excuse, but then Morris should have been out in the third quarter with having the same amount of lack of time. Why is that? Like, we don't give Morris, and again, I'm not saying Morris should be starting quarterback right now, but I kind of wonder why he got the short leash and why everybody was totally okay with him coming out after three quarters and then we're okay to say Mason doesn't have any time and we should give him a pass, but Morris doesn't have any time and we shouldn't give a pass.
And I understand your argument, and I completely see your side of it. I think what the intangible is, a fine produced, and he can scramble, and he can run better.
Morris, for sure. I
don't think I've ever seen, and I have to go back a long way, but when Morris would back up, I mean, when he would get back into the pocket to pass, he has got to be one of the best-looking, statuesque quarterbacks that we've ever had. He looked composed back there. He was set. The problem was he didn't have enough time, and then he started scrambling, and nothing really came out of the scrambles except for the one where it was a touchdown flip into the end zone.
Think about this. If he takes a couple of the sacks instead of throws the ball away, that Mason's taking the sacks and not throwing the ball away, and they're not getting picked off.
Those are decisions.
Exactly. No, and that's what I'm saying. Like, this is why. This is my Morris.
And like I said, I'm not.
Morris might still be the quarterback.
I am not taking down Morris at all, because like I said, he's got it. He looked composed. I felt good. But the bottom line is, with the state of the rest of the offense, I think Fine is a better fit right now. Now, maybe if we had the offensive line that we had a few years ago that were making holes for Dunbar, or, you know, when you look at that, I think that Morris could have a different outcome. But right now, Fine gives us that extra threat that we didn't get from Morris.
And things can change, guys. I mean, when have we ever gone through an entire season where a quarterback didn't have an injury or something came up? So, you know, Alec needs just to be a good soldier right now, hang in there. I know he's disappointed about his playing time, but things can change on a dime, as we've all seen.
And the one, you know, the flip side of what I said a second ago is that when Alec did come in against Bethune-Cookman, he didn't look all that great. And that's, if he would have come in there and looked really good, then I'd really throw my hands up like, what did this kid do to deserve, you know, Ashton hates Fine. No,
I knew that was coming.
Guys
in the chat room, keep us honest.
Babe Ruth Bomber just crapped all over me, even though he's agreeing with me before that. Anyway, that's not cool, dude. No, but you know what I'm saying? Like, I just wish we weren't always talking about the quarterback, and I wish he would have come in and just seized the job and just taken it and been good.
Hey,
that's all I wanted was a good quarterback.
I'm not complaining about anything.
No, absolutely.
We just beat Rice. We had a great game. The fans came. The players should be fired up this week, and I'm excited. So today's Wednesday, obviously Wednesday night. Tomorrow we got a Beyond the Green. Let's switch gears, talk a little about that.
Well, Ashton, Babe Ruth Bomber's not going to watch the Beyond the Green video.
He's done with Ashton.
I thought he was agreeing with me at first. Man, what the hell happened?
Dude,
then?
You are so on your own.
I know.
Oh, that was too long.
It was way too long.
I don't know how long that was.
So what about Beyond the Green? What are we talking about again?
So, you know, let's talk Beyond the Green.
He just wants to push these buttons on his phone. Yeah, you know, like I said earlier, tomorrow's, if you didn't get to see the Rice game and you just listened on the radio, then you'll probably really love this episode, because it's a lot of plays. It's a lot of sideline stuff. There's a lot of, there was a lot of really cool moments. Like I was saying earlier, where something would happen on the field and we were able to get a really good reactionary aftermath of said play. Offsides was a theme in the first half, obviously. And then halftime was really cool. There's also another segment that isn't football related, that this should be kind of fun, where you see some players having a good time and on an off day, which will be hopefully be pretty funny. I think somebody called the show 2 weeks ago like a snore fest, because I did a lot of football. So this one might be a snore fest.
A snore fest because there was a lot of football?
Somebody said like, I don't know, they said last week's episode was a lot better than the week before, snore fest. And the week before his episode, I tried to preview it on the podcast. I said that it was going to be like a lot of heavy football, and it was Seth's first win, so I wanted to talk about his first win. But you know, I know that everybody wants to see all the features and all the, like, the off the field stuff. But then, when we get these kind of wins, I feel like
when we get these kind of wins, because, you know, and that's nothing against the team now, but over the past few years they've been few and far between, and it might be a great win 1 week and we're thinking, all right, here it goes, and the next week it's a sucker punch to the ribs. I mean, it's. We've got a lot of history there. So, hey, I got no problem with the sleeper show me a lot of football in a winning game.
I want you guys to see how these coaches are reacting to things. And you know, I think the athletic department sometimes like would like me to do less of the game stuff and more of off the field stuff. You know, they want the happy medium. I've had that conversation with them before, but I'm a really big proponent of, if I can go out there and give you and give the viewers a behind a real behind the scenes look at what's going on a game day, things that they're never going to see, then I really want to do that. And you know, I took the I think I had a couple people. I mean, I don't think that episode, it was episode 3, was the most compelling episode I've done. It was actually probably one of the slower episodes, but I thought it was all.
It did make my top 5.
Yeah, it was the radio show one. The radio show I was hoping to be a little bit more funnier than it was. It was kind of it. Hey, it wasn't the greatest thing in the world. And then the Seth's first win kind of took over the fourth act of the show, which again I thought that I should let
you know what.
Talk about his first win.
Yeah. Regardless, the show's over, and I'm like, wow, that I went through that too quick because it's over before you know it. You know, and the interest, the players segments, those are real popular because people want to kind of. They want to buy into a player. They want to know the background story. I mean, 2 years ago when you did some of the stories about some of the players, mom, you know, family, there was a lot of things that people really remember those segments. And they really people really get involved. So those are popular. But, you know, seeing the players, seeing how they interact and the halftime speeches – and you caught, was Thaddeus' halftime speech, was it 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, he walked up to
Florida's one.
Florida,
yeah.
He said, hey, we got 25 plays and we got 25 yards.
Yeah.
Let that resonate.
Yeah, yeah. The little things like that, there's you just kind of, yeah. You realize you get to see a lot more than you would have. And so, you know, the mix has got to be good. And so far we've had it.
The seeing guys like Kenny and Alec walking around campus and doing fun stuff and talking to people is great. But I think for... The fans that really love football and really want to see how these guys they want to see how these guys are like on game day and you know on the sidelines without pads they want to see or with pads but without the helmet they want to see how Brad Davis is going to fix the offensive line. I mean that's kind of a fascinating topic right now because the offensive line isn't doing very well. Go ahead, Evan.
No, I just was looking at some of the comments on the board here and they're going through here and some of them I'm gonna have to delete because they're taking shots at Josh. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh,
people mentioned the Vicky Whitfield segment you did.
Yeah,
that was a really good segment. It went over real well. But somebody asked, and I won't mention the exact players, but talking about some of the with players when you talk to them and you interview them. Do you ever ask, you know, what made you pick North Texas?
Yeah, absolutely.
What's the feeling here? I mean, would that be kind of like trying to push recruiting? Or
no,
I mean,
it's funny that Babe Ruth Bomber 8 brought that up. And
name's too long.
Yeah, it's way too long. You need to fix that, dude. Taking shots at him now.
BRB8?
No, yeah, BRB8. What's up? Beyond the Green Fan 1, that's what he should make it. no, but so 2 years ago, I was going to do a segment on three freshmen adapting to life on campus. I went to their classes with them. I did all this stuff with them. One of the guys got seriously hurt. The season kind of started going down in the dumps. It just didn't feel like it was – there wasn't much happiness going on. And maybe I should have done the segment then, and I didn't. And it was really good. So I've actually already started working on a segment that's about a couple players and why they chose North Texas. They're new guys, why they chose North Texas, what they like about it, what campus life is about, adjusting to being a freshman on campus and that kind of stuff and kind of following them around a little bit. But I'm doing it over the course of time, so it won't be something that'll be done right now. It'll be episode 9 or 8 or 10 or something like that.
The chili eating, the pepper eating competition.
Man, that's great.
Good too.
That's great. And I'm trying to get some guys that like do some eating stuff and eating competition and just, you know, goofy stuff. So hopefully that's a, but at the same time, there's so many new guys. Like I got to learn these guys too. So there's a lot of players that I'm still trying to find my way through. And I'm working on about 8 different profiles right now and little feature stories on some guys that you know either whether it's their family history or them or something like that. So those segments will start coming up as the season kind of progresses. But I always like to see at the beginning of the season, I like to feel out what direction the team's going. And you know, in 2013, it was all these milestones. You know, first time we're 2-1 in so many years. First time we've won 2 games in a row. First time we've done this. First time we've done that. First time we're above 500. You know, all these things that had happened in such a long time. This season, it won't be that, but, you know, it was Seth's first victory. You know, now we're 1-0 in conference, and, you know, now we're moving in the right direction. And there's still some things with the coaching staff that I want to kind of shed some light on and some stories there that, you know, hopefully we'll get into.
We'll be looking forward to tomorrow afternoon's episode. All right, guys, let's talk about it. This weekend, Middle Tennessee, what are they going to bring?
They're big. They're strong. They have a great quarterback, the coach's son, that is like a coach on the field. It's going to be a real test for our offense to try to match what, you know, Stockstill. Am I saying his name? Stockstill can do on the field. I mean, he's a coach's son. He's got a great arm, and he's probably, arguably, one of the best quarterbacks in Conference USA right now. We've got a young guy that's trying to get to that point. I think that's part of the story. I think any team that looks at us right now is going to try to ram the ball down our throat and set up the long pass because they know we have a decent secondary. So how we can stop the run early against them is going to be a huge key.
I think all the things that we did well against Rice, the adjustments we made from the Florida game, and even some of the Bethune-Cookman game, and that carried over into Rice, I think now is when the coaching staff should have some things figured out, you know, in terms of they've seen four games now of their team on the field. They've had four games to kind of, you know, Graham's had four games of play calling under his belt now. Like now we get maybe we'll start seeing some more stuff or seeing a different, you know, look or maybe more passing, which I think we all kind of thought would be there'd be more of. But again, at the same time, you know, we talked about our receiving corps not showing up that much. You know, we got to get them more involved. But at the same time, we got two guys in the backfield that can really run the ball with Willie and Jeffrey. So, you know, find something that works, shove it down their throat, and hopefully let the defense needs to keep the momentum going, and we could be in really good shape, and it'd be really cool to be 3-2.
Well, yes. I tell you, the planets are aligning. We're talking about excellent football weather, highs in the low 80s, game awesome. Time, you know, low 80s. By the time the halftime, you'll be in the 70s. The weather should be perfect.
And the crowd should be decent, too. You know, okay. How many times do we have an away game where we play like dog crap and then we come back home and, the attendance is not so great? You don't really have that excuse this week. You had a great performance against a conference opponent on the road. You know, I've got to feel like the fans that weren't able to make it to Houston are going to be interested in seeing this team this weekend.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think after a road win like that, and you know, your team, you're not a bad team, you're 2-2, fans really don't have any reason not to go to the game. You know, I mean, they already have the new coaching staff. That's there. That's in place. We got a young quarterback who's exciting. We got, you know, there's so many reasons why they should go. And then the weather, like you just said, is great.
Yeah, the weather's great.
And we're following a win.
You're not at a point where people are going to go home. I think somebody put on here, there should be a huge student turnout. I think it's parents' weekend, isn't it?
Well, that's what somebody said that they sent out flyers.
If not, they're starting a rumor. But if it's parents' weekend, that's always a good crowd. Because
you're talking at least 20,000.
But here's the thing. I was up there getting tickets today, and I brought this up to Harry and Ashley.
He had a special meeting with a good buddy of his today.
I went over to Vortman's. And for those of you that haven't been on campus in years, Vortman's no longer carries books. Well, they do, but it's a very small amount. They've turned into a North Texas athletic jersey, you know, a fan wear place. That's pretty much all they do. I mean, they've got art supplies too for that crowd, but I mean, most of it's clothing and shirts, and it's different selection than they have at the thing. But when I walked out, Tony Benford was walking in, and I'm not sure. Here's Ashton's comment on what book he was buying, but he was walking in while I was walking out, and I was like, what would he be doing in Vortman's? So anyway, that was kind of interesting. But when I went over to the athletic department, first of all, they were getting sweatshirts out. They had all these sweatshirts because they expected people start getting a second half. It's a little cool. Let me get a sweatshirt. So they have sweatshirts there, getting them all ready. They've changed their selection a little bit. I don't know if it was just coming in late, but from the week before the season started, Harry and I were in there, to now, there's a lot of different items in there. So that was kind of strange. But I needed to buy three extra tickets. And I was trying to buy them near me. Now, I'm in section, I don't even know, 204, 205, right there on the 50. It's a good seat. It's like 10 on row 10. And I needed to try to get some seats around me. There were three seats available in the entire section. Now,
that's awesome.
I always thought, well, there's going to be a lot of onesies and twosies. There's a lot of them that are there that they haven't sold or nobody. My question is, I guess, maybe these are businesses, people that just don't come. Or these are people that bought tickets and they'll come if the team does good. But this is the alumni side. This we're talking the whole section, and this isn't the lower section. This is, you know, good in the section. But there was I think there was four tickets available in that whole section. So that tells me that those tickets are out there. And if the it's not like they didn't sell them. Those tickets are out there. And if we win, then the people will probably show up. But all the rest of the sections, and I've been in there when people are trying to buy in the end zone and the lower end zone, and those sections they fill up because people are just buying single tickets. So I was kind of surprised, and I was happy about that because that they're sold. But I really do think we're going to have a good crowd this week.
It can build on as the season goes on. You know, it's one of those things. Have a good performance, and you keep people coming back. So it's very encouraging.
We should have a good crowd, and that's the thing that, you know, everybody right now, everybody's talking about all the changes happening in the offseason and, you know, whether or not you wanted RV gone or, you know, you wanted Mac fired or just whatever. All those things happened. So now and the team seems to be in a good place right now. I mean, we can't say we're great or terrible because we're 2-2. So we're right about even. So right now is when the fans, in my opinion, need to kind of start their end of the bargain. You know, the athletic department has done some things. We got some guys in place. You know, we got a quarterback that people like. We got a coach that people seem to like. We got coaches that people like. We got an AD that people seem to like. Now's the time to come out and support the team. And now's the time to go out there and show up, buy a ticket. You know, even if you're still kind of ticked off about everything that's gone down or the report that just came out, whatever. I mean, now's when we have to show them that we have a fan base and people actually do care so they can continue to keep trying to make things better. I think it's on the fans now. As things start moving along, you know, it's going to be up to us to show up to the games and support the team. And you know, what was that? Quarters in the jukebox?
Yep, sorry. No, we're good. Yeah. It should be. And like I said, Parents Weekend, Homecoming, those are always two big games. So if this is truly Parents Weekend, it's great. If it's against Marshall, I don't know. And then the Homecoming game is November 7th against Louisiana Tech or whatever it is. So it should be good. And I don't know. What are you guys thinking? Final score?
I would like to see North Texas win this game by a score of 28 to 21.
28 to 21, North Texas. Ashton.
Man, I'm going to go low scoring. I'm going to go like 10 to 17, North Texas. I think it could be one of those games that we think it's going to be really high scoring just because, you know, offenses, Conference USA, maybe we'll start throwing the ball a lot, whatever, but it just, I don't know, there's something about this game that kind of has a low-scoring feel to me. So I'm going to go 17-10.
17-10? All right. Well, with that, we will see you guys this weekend. Go Mean Green.
Go Mean Green.
Go Mean Green.